Hey everyone, it's Terry Shepherd for Authors on the Air. And this week we took our traveling microphone to the Jacksonville, Florida community of San Marco to celebrate Independent Bookstore Day with Jennifer Jennings. Jennifer writes Christian fiction. She was a delight to interview, and especially if you're in the early years of your indie publishing career, her advice on the business of books will be valuable to you. I think you'll also find the process she uses to bring biblical characters to life fascinating and useful, no matter what genre is your home base. We recorded this outside on a day with some wind, so pardon the occasional pop that I couldn't remove in post-production. Okay, let's fire up the transporter and head to San Marco Books and More for our conversation with author Jennifer Jennings. I began with the question I ask everyone. When did you decide to become a writer?
Well, I was never one of those people that I say born with a pen in their hand, you know, that are always writing, always think they're going to be writers. I was not that person. I didn't like writing, I didn't enjoy it. I enjoyed reading, but didn't really have the time. I was super busy working since I was 15, going to high school, college, did all that, but I was going to one college, and that college turned out not to be the college for me, and I switched colleges. So I ended up at a Bible college, which was also not part of my plan, and there I started studying deeper into the Bible and deeper into the people of the Bible, and that's what really got my attention of how can I make these people more realistic so that they get people's attention, because it really feels to me that people seek Bible characters as either one way or the other. Either they're saints and they've never done anything wrong, they can never do anything wrong, they're perfect, or it's like, oh yeah, that guy, you know, killed a 9-foot giant or was swallowed by a whale, yeah. And we forget how amazing those stories are, and that these were real people walking around, you know, living their real life. And so I really wanted to write about that and bring those people more to the forefront. So I started writing biblical fiction.
And what made you pick that genre?
I didn't pick it. I actually, when I started writing it, didn't even know that it was a genre. I had started writing this story about Rebecca from Genesis. And I was like, oh, I know, well, Christian fiction is a genre, but I'd never read about a Bible character. It was more contemporary or, you know, historical, Midwest, that sort of thing. And I wrote her story, and I wrote about Rahab. And then a friend of mine, when I was pitching Rahab, she goes, oh, I've read a story like this. And she brought me the book, and it was Pearl in the Sand by Tess Asher. And she goes, did you know that this was a genre? And I said, no, I had no idea. So I sort of fell into the genre. I didn't go out searching for it. It found me.
So from beginning to end, how long did it take you to write your first book?
My very, very first book was the... I have two first books. A lot of writers say that. We always start with a project that is too overwhelming, and I went down that path. The Rebecca story is the first story I started, and it took 11 years to finish. And it was just published this year. But the first book I published was 10 years ago, and it only took me 13 days to write. So the writers group that I was involved in was doing NaNoWriMo, which is National Novels Writers Month. And my leader said, hey, you should do this with us. I think it would really help motivate you into writing. I know you're working on that project, but it's overwhelming. Try this. Just pick a different topic. Just try it. So I said, okay. So we spent a full month, her and I and another person, plotting and outlining our books and researching and getting everything ready. And then November 1st hit, and we started doing sprints, and I wrote it in 13 days. And I went, wow, I can do this.
How many words?
That one was just over 51,000, so did 51,000 in 13 days. And then I said, well, now what? Now that I have this book, now what? And she goes, well, now you publish it. I said, okay, I'll do that. So that was kind of how I published my first book, but it didn't really go anywhere. It was an interesting story that was very hard to market, and so kind of put that aside for a couple of years and then started doing biblical fiction. That one wasn't really biblical fiction, but it helped.
How do you publish?
I'm self-published, so everything outside of editing is done by me. So I have one editor who helps me. She's my line editor. So as soon as I get it, the best that I can get, it goes to her, and she polishes it up for me. But everything else I do, I design my own covers. I market myself. I format my own books. And it took you know, probably about 5 years of learning. I took a lot of classes, trial and error. But yeah, just learning. I loved it. I had the time and very little money, so I learned how to do stuff.
So what software do you use now for your publishing?
For ebooks, I use Vellum. Love Vellum. I love that it's so easy to use. And then paperbacks, actually I format in Word. I have a document that I save and just copy, and it has all my formatting in it. I sat down one day and just completely formatted it. And
export to PDF?
Yeah, it
and
exports
up to
PDF
Kindle.
And up to Kindle it goes. And then I just copy it and make a new one. And, you know, that's just blank, and I just copy and go on for the next book. Save myself a lot of time.
Let's talk a little bit more about the business of writing. How do you market your wares?
There's a couple different ways to market. It's either online or in person. So like today, we're out here and we set up a table and put books out there and just talk to people, you know, waving by because they're humans and some of them might like to read, some of them might not, but I can usually find things to talk about with people. And so I kind of just use that as my hook, you know, and get them over to the table and just start talking to them, find out where they are in life and recommend a book to them. And if they buy it, they buy it. And if they don't, they don't. But we usually have a good conversation. And then online's a little different. I do a lot of, I set up my own social media. So I have what I like to call a social media day once a month. And I format pictures and content and then get it all scheduled. And then it runs all month long for me. So it saves a little bit of time.
And you use, what do you use to get your scheduler?
I actually just, Facebook Studio. Facebook actually has a free platform that you can schedule stuff to Instagram and Facebook. And Twitter as well has their own free platform where they can, you can schedule it all the way out for about a year. But I just do 1 month at a time.
That is very effective.
Yes, it's very effective. And then I don't have to worry about it. I can write for the other 29 days of the month. Because I don't spend 30 minutes a day doing social media. You know, I check it, you know, reply to people and things like that, but I'm not worrying about, oh, what am I going to write about today, or what picture am I going to show today, or, you know, I sit down and I think about all that stuff for that one social media day, and then the rest of my month is for me.
How much time do you spend on your website?
Website, it depends on if it needs updating. When I first launched it, it took a couple of days to learn. It was a steep learning curve for me. But I use WordPress and Thrive Architect, which I love Thrive Architect. It's a drop and drag program. Love it. It makes it so easy. But unless it needs updating, it really doesn't take that much time. You know, when I have a new book out, I make sure that's on there. If I have an event like today, I make sure that's on there.
You have four options in the join section. What are they? I think
so,
I saw four.
There's join my newsletter. So they can go there and I give away a free devotional to anyone who signs up for my newsletter. And I send out usually about 2 to 3 newsletters a month just with encouraging verses and just saying, you know, reminding people that God loves them, that he's still here no matter what's going on in your life, because, you know, even though we're all on different paths, we all have stuff in our life. You know, there's always stuff that we're struggling with or need to be reminded of, so I try to do that. Let's see, join probably Facebook. I'm trying to think of the other ones.
There's, you have an advanced readers group.
I do have an ARC team, yes, my ARC team. So that is for my devoted readers. They get a free release before anyone else does. And all I ask is that they take time to read it. And if they'd like to leave an honest opinion on whatever retailer they like, Amazon, Goodreads, you know, wherever they're at, just leave a completely honest opinion. You know, I've had ARC team members that say, hey, you know, I didn't really like this book. That's fine with me. You know, it's their honest opinion. I'm not requiring a 5-star. I'm not saying, hey, you have to say positive things. Your complete honest opinion. But in exchange for that, they get a free book.
And what platform do you use to distribute?
Book Funnel. I love Book Funnel. They take care of all the IT stuff. As you could probably tell, I'm not an IT person.
You sound like you're a very good IT person, actually.
I'm not. I find ways for someone else to do it. Or I find very easy, you know, drag and drop, or fill in the blank, or, hey, well, you just fill in this information, we'll take care of the rest of it. So Book Funnel's my favorite. You know, they have every digital format, including PDF, available. So, you know, no one has any excuse that they can't read digitally, because if they have a computer or phone, you can read on a PDF. So, love Book Funnel.
How do you define success in publishing?
Success in publishing. I think if you wake up every day and you're excited to get back to it, then I think you're successful. You know, I think the day that you wake up and you say, oh, I don't want to do that today, then something's wrong. Because it should be fun, it should be exciting, it should be your passion, it should be a desire. That's what I think success in publishing is.
Is that why you write?
Yes. I always say that my life is stressful and my publishing business is not. It does have its moments, but it's something I look forward to. I get up every morning and say, I can't wait to write today, or I can't wait to hear from a reader today, or, hey, my book just came out, I can't wait to hear what people think. You know, that to me is success.
Take us through the process of creation, from ideation to the final draft.
Ooh, that's a long process. But most of the time, I get an idea, so I'm usually answering a question, or I've come across some little nugget in a story and I'm like, oh, that's interesting, let's write about that. So I have what I call my 3-question process. So my first question is, what does the Bible say? Not what I think it says, not what I've been taught it says, not what somebody else told me it says, but I go back and I actually read it, and I read it again, and I read it again, and I read it again.
So you have no problem with plots. It's already laid out
plots
for you.
Plots are there. Most names are already there for me. But I make sure that I have the timeline in order. That's very important to me, to make sure that the events happen the way they're supposed to happen. People's names, obviously I'm very respectful of making sure that people have, you know, if God decided their name was going to be there, I'm going to make sure that their name is there. And then I also look at other contexts. So if that story is mentioned somewhere else, like I'm working on an Old Testament story and it's mentioned in the New Testament, I'll go study that too. And then after I have all of that in place, literally in my outline, I will sometimes copy and paste sections of scripture and highlight it into my outline. Then I say, okay, what was the historical and cultural aspects that were going on? So, you know, I'll go to the library, or I have some great commentaries and commentary software. Logo software is one of my favorites. It's just chock full of stuff. I look at, you know, geography, culture, archaeology, just anything I can get my hands on that time. And sometimes even that will start sparking little, oh, that's neat, or oh, that's interesting, I wonder if people know about that, or so then I'll jot those down in my outline and highlight those with a different color. And I make sure those are in there. Oh, that's cool. And then after that, then I add the fiction. So fiction is always last. To me, it is much more important that people get the actual Bible story and the historical accuracy than my ideas.
So you're an outline person.
Very
outline
much.
First, and then the story writes itself?
Pretty much. I guess I'm lucky that way, or blessed that way. I don't know what you would call it, but because I spend so much time in the research and it's marinating in my brain, if you will, when I get to the creative part, I feel like I'm just writing the movie that's in my head. You know, I'm just writing down as quickly as possible everything everyone's doing and everything everyone's saying.
Jennifer Jennings is our guest. We're in San Marco. That's what you hear in the background. We're out and about at the San Marco bookstore celebrating Independent Bookstore Day. How many words a day do you try to write? Do you have a goal?
I don't have a goal, unless I'm on a deadline. I'll say it that way. Depending on my deadline, if I get a little close and I'm behind, then I try to do at least 1 to 2 chapters a day. My chapters range anywhere from 1,500 to 2,500 words. I don't shoot for any specific number. Just when the chapter ends for me. But 9 times out of 10, how can I explain this? I don't believe writers should write every day, and I know that goes against the grain. But I also believe that we need to let stories marinate, and that takes time. So if I wake up one day and my brain just goes, you know what, I'm just not ready to write today. Today is not a writing day. I say, that's fine. What else can I do for my business? Do I need to go make some ads? Do I need to go update my website? Do I need to go create some newsletters or some social media posts? So I'm doing something for my business. Not necessarily writing every day. And that has been so much more helpful to me than I say, oh, right, I have to write today, and then sitting in front of a blank screen. Because I feel like it blocks me when I go, I have to write today, I have to write today, I have to write today. And then I'm like, well, today's not a writing day. So I give myself that grace, but I build that into my timeline. So I make sure that I'm not pushing myself so hard and so fast that I don't have those days available to me. You know, even, you know, the Bible tells us we need to take a Sabbath. You know, we need that rest. I believe that our brains do need that rest. And I believe we're so much more creative when we take a rest and we think of something else or we do something else. And 9 times out of 10, you know, when I take a day off, I'm jotting down notes. I'm jotting down dialogue. Something has come to my brain and I just jot it down. I said, all right, I'll work on that tomorrow. And then tomorrow it's there. And
so the story is always with you, even when you're not thinking about it.
It's with me even now. I'm in the middle of writing a third book of a series, and even today, standing here waiting to talk to people, it's marinating in my brain. I'm wondering, all right, I got this next chapter coming up. You know, what would be interesting, or, you know, what was the motive behind this choice that I'm getting ready to write? You know, so it's always in the back of my head. It's always somewhere on my mind, and I think that helps the creative part of the brain kind of sit and soak in that, so that when I hit that keyboard, I'm off and running.
Do you feel the need to edit while you're writing, or do you just burn through the thing?
I've tried both ways, and editing while I'm writing works for me. I've tried the scaffolding method where, you know, if I can't think of something, I just leave a note and come back, and then my brain the whole time where I'm finishing the chapters, remember that thing, remember that thing, remember that thing, and I can't write. So I usually write a couple paragraphs at a time, and then I go back and I edit those. And then I write a couple paragraphs at a time, and then I'll go back and edit those. So that's what works best for me. It may not work for everybody, but that's what works for me.
How do you know when you're done?
I don't think you're ever done. I think done is you're okay with letting it go. Because there are stories that I have written and I could go, you know, I could go back and fix those. I could go back and add to those. I could go back and, you know, whatever.
And Amazon lets you do that.
Amazon lets you do that. But then I think, well, that's the best use of my time, you know, instead of creating a new book and getting better. You know, it's out there. People love it. Let me just leave it, you know. So I'm always asking that question, is it worth my time? Is it worth my energy to go backwards when I could be going forward? Now, sometimes it is. I have gone back and rebranded or updated and things like that. But, you know, if it were up to me, I'd probably do that every day. But I can't.
How do you decide what your financial goals are for your business?
Financial goals. I think for everybody it's personal, of course, you know, talking about money. But for me, I always wanted to get to a place where I could help my family and I could help other people. Those are goals that I'm striving for right now, because just last year I became actually profitable. And that was like a real big win for me, but it wasn't, oh, how much can I save and stash away and squirrel away? It was, well, now that I'm making money, what can I do with it? So I've started to pay myself in order to, you know, help alleviate some of our family bills, or, you know, hey, I know so-and-so needs X, Y, or Z this week. You know, I'd really love to go bless them. You know, so that's what I see profit for is, that's my piece to go be hands and feet and light and salt. And so I take a small percentage. I should probably take a bigger percentage. But I usually use the bigger chunk to keep the momentum running and run ads and, you know, keep my name out there. And then my small chunk is, you know, if God can do what he can do at 10%, I can do what I can do at 10%, and I'm going to go do something. Whatever God leads me to do, that's what I'm going to go do. And if it means this month I buy extra groceries for my family, then that's what it means. And if next month it means I need to go buy supplies for my kids' teachers, that's what it means. And
so how many years did it take?
Total, this is 11. But life kind of got in the way in the middle there, you know.
It has a habit of doing that, doesn't it?
Yeah. The office that I was working for closed down, and then I started having my children. I have 2 kids, and then they were home all the time, and, you know, so it was when they finally, both of them went full time, that I sat around the house going, well, now what? I'm here 6 hours a day with nothing to do, and I'm not one of those people who can just sit around and do nothing. And I'm like, my house is only so big. I can't clean every day. You know, so I was like, you know, this is for me. You know, this is something that excites me, so I'm going to do it. And I feel like I get the benefit of that, and then I can be a blessing to other people through that. You know, people who read my stories get blessed. The people who sign up for my newsletter are blessed. The people that I can help financially are blessed. So I see it kind of like a ministry.
Aggregate all of your 5-star reviews for me now and tell me what the top 3 things are that people love about your work.
Ooh, I like this question. Number 1 is my characters. Lots and lots of people like my characters. And I actually have a background in psychology, so I really use that to my advantage and make them real people. You know, I get deep into what was their motive. Why would they make that decision? You know, sometimes the Bible tells us that they made a decision, but not why. So I think, well, if I were in their sandals, why would I make that decision versus this decision or this decision? And so I really bring that out in my characters, and that resonates with a lot of people. You know, the characters become 3-dimensional. They become more real. And then people love getting to know the Bible characters better. They like getting to feel those historical moments that just make it so real for them. I've had so many people write me back and go, I pulled out my Bible, and it was like I was reading it for the first time because it like meant something to me, you know, or I understood it better, and, you know, that just absolutely blesses my socks off. If a reader could tell me something, they could tell me that, and it was like, yes, that's why I write. That's exactly why I write, so that you go back to the Bible and say, you know, that God is the God that loves me, and that God is the God who's got my back. You know, that's the same God, and so that just, oh,
you're working in a highly personal genre that, you know, when you're dealing with stories of faith, it's very personal for people. Mm. Do you ever get hate mail?
Oh, yeah. It happens. But I think every artist feels that. You know, I think every time that you're vulnerable, every time you open yourself up, there are going to be people who don't like you. And that's okay, because I really feel like the genres are like ice cream flavors. You know, not everybody likes Rocky Road. Not everybody likes vanilla. Not everybody likes chocolate. So it's okay that they don't like my stuff. They might love someone else's. That's okay with me. I don't have a problem with that. But then there are people, I think, because of the genre that I write in and write in faith, people have their own ideas and beliefs. And when you tweak those and when you kind of press on that line a little bit, people can get offended. I've had people misunderstand entire books because they had in their mind something that happened and I didn't write about that. And then they come to me and say, oh, well, it didn't happen that way. And I said, really, show me, because I can show you where it did. You know, I have the background. I've studied. Let me send you the verses, you know, very politely. But it's like, just because someone told you the Bible says something doesn't mean that that's what's in there. You have to go back and read it for yourself. And so that's my challenge to my readers, is go back and read it for yourself. See for yourself. But there's a lot that's not in there. You know, we get the Cliff Notes versions. You know, we get little bits and snippets of people's life. We don't get their whole entire life. So a lot of stuff happened beforehand. I mean, we don't have Jesus' whole life. From the time he was 13 until 30, we have nothing. Not a single word. A lot of stuff probably happened to him. Why not write about it? You know, as long as it's theologically sound, and that's my number one goal, as long as it doesn't go against theology, you know, what does it matter whether he had red hair or black hair? Whether he had green eyes or blue eyes? You know.
We're having a fascinating conversation with Jennifer Jennings. She's on her 13th book. She writes in the spiritual genre. If you could write in another genre, what would interest you?
I don't know. I never thought about that. I guess I always have this this plan to write in biblical fiction and not step outside of that. I don't know. I've written down the idea.
They're moving the sign.
That's okay. Yeah,
no worries. This is live radio here.
I have written down a children's book. I don't know if I will ever do anything with it, but we'll see. But I'd probably write children's books if I had to pick something.
So the question I always leave every author with, the final question in the conversation is, if you could give advice to your brand new writer self, mm-hmm. if you could go back to the very beginning, what would you tell Jennifer Jennings?
I tell her to keep working for it, because there were so many times at the beginning where I wanted to quit because I just felt overwhelmed. I felt like I was never going to learn
format a book, how to run an ad, how to make a story complete, how to edit properly, how to find an editor, all those things. There were so many moments where I wanted to give up, and I would just tell her, you know what, it's worth it. It's worth it to keep going and to keep doing it. This is your passion. This is what you love. And I would remind myself of my why. You know, why do I write? And I think every time those hard moments come, you always have to go back to your why. And it reignites that passion in you to keep going and to keep doing.
How can people find Jennifer Jennings on social media? Where are you?
All over the place. I have a website, jenniferjennings.com. Jennifer's with one N.
One N, yeah.
One N. I'm on Facebook. Jennifer Jennings Author is my author page. I'm on Twitter, @AuthorJennifer. On Instagram, @author_Jennifer.
Because somebody else took it?
Because somebody else had taken it. I was kind of late to the Instagram party. I know, it makes it very difficult to tell people where I am, but yeah, and I'm on Goodreads, I'm on Amazon, I'm on BookBub, I'm all over the place.
And which book should people start with if they want to get a good feel for your writing style?
Ooh, they should start with Midwives of Moses, which is my Faith Finder series. It is the first book. It covers the life of Pua. She was a named midwife in the Bible. And that's a great place to start feeling me out, because that's one of my favorite stories.
Very contemporary topic, too. Very popular. Jennifer Jennings, thank you so much for joining us in Authors on the Air today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been awesome.
Jennifer Jennings, wasn't she somebody you'd love to have come over and just hang out to talk shop? In addition to her work as a writer, she leads a local critique group. You heard her talk about writing a novel in 13 days during NaNoWriMo, and she listed a ton of useful resources that I'll include in the show notes. So that's it for this edition of Authors on the Air. I'm Terry Shepherd, and I'll see you in the next chapter.